Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1320, 1320. We'll be reading the very last verse of the third chapter of 2 Peter. We'll read that in unison, and then we'll turn to two other verses of Scripture at my direction a little bit later. Shall we stand, please, as is our custom to do here at the First Baptist Church? The 18th verse of the third chapter, 2 Peter, let's read it together, please. Ready? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Turn now to the third chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Page 1333 in your Schofield Bible. We're reading the first two verses. Likewise, we'll read these verses in unison. And let's read together, please. Ready? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast the name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy words perfect before God. And let's pray. Sure thankful, dear Lord, for our church. We thank you for this occasion to gather once more as a church family. Thank you for those of us who come regularly, and we love to be here. Thank you for those who join us today as visitors. We pray that they too will love being here. We pray that you'd help concerning the listening to the Word of God as it's preached. Father, give power, of course, to our preacher as is needed, and then we pray that you'd help us with the power of thy Spirit to behave ourselves and to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, I'm speaking to everybody this morning, but I'm speaking especially to those of you who've been saved for a number of years. I want you to take inventory this morning. Now, if you've been saved a week, I'm preaching to you. But mainly, my emphasis this morning and my attention is turned toward those of you who've been saved for a number of years. I hope you'll listen to me. I thank God that First Baptist Church, though she's 112 years old, she's more alive today than she's ever been. I thank God that after having been here for 40 years, this church is multiplied times more aggressive than it's ever been, and more alive than it's ever been. And let me, by way of testimony, say, I thank God that after 54 years of preaching and 52 years of pastoring, I thank God I'm just as excited as I ever have been about the future. I want to speak this morning on the subject, listen to the title, Grow or Die. Grow or Die. The church at Sardis had a reputation of being a live wire church. The Bible said, Jesus said, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you're dead. He looked alive. It probably was better than some churches that were alive. Please give me a good hearing this morning. I think I can help you, and I know each of us ought to take inventory. Our Heavenly Father, I come this morning to the same people, behind the same piece of wood, with the same book. I pray you'd help me to take this little portion of the book and help our dear people today and those who share with us as our guests. Bless this moment, these moments together, and do thou something real special in this service to all of our hearts and lives. Amen. As I said a while ago, I'm speaking on the subject, grow or die. I was talking to a young preacher several months ago, and the young preacher looked at me and he said, "Dr. Hiles, how do I get from where I am to where you are?" He was a young pastor, had a small church numerically, and he said, "How do I get from where I am to where you are?" I told him something like this, and I answered that question publicly this morning. Nature says, grow or die. Don't do choices. Only two types of people in this, only two types of bodies in this room this morning. Physically, those who are growing and those who are dying. For when you cease to grow, you die. Nature says, grow or I'll kill you. God's law begins to work on us, our bodies, and disintegration takes the place of integration. We lose an atom here and an atom there. Nature's fingers began to pick and pick and pick at us. I told Miss Hiles the other day, it seems like we spend more time in the shop than we do on the road these days, physically. In the end, the law of death claims all of us. So, hear me carefully now. Hear me carefully. When growth stops, death begins. You do not see it at first. I mean, my body is dying. Why? It stopped growing. Keith's body is alive. And as long as you can keep it up, buddy, you'll never die. You'll live forever. But the truth is, in the process of life, when we get to a certain place, a certain age in life, the body ceases to grow. And so the death process takes the place of the life process. I'm saying, by the way, you can't tell it sometimes at first. Everybody in this room today, physically, is either growing or dying. Every church in America or in the world today is either growing or dying. Every school is either growing or dying. Every school teacher is either growing or dying. Every marriage is either growing or dying. There is no way to continue to live unless you keep on growing. The same is true spiritually. You cannot be complacent and live. You know what I said? You complacent people this morning, self-satisfied people this morning, you're happy with where you are. You haven't grown in grace in a long, long time. The truth is you're dying. You cannot be complacent and live. You cannot be at ease in Zion and live. You cannot stay where you are and live. You cannot be neutral and live. You cannot spiritually stand still and live. You cannot be spiritually immobile and live. You cannot be satisfied and live. You're either going one way or the other. There is no middle ground. You either are growing or you are dying. Expansion is necessary to life. If there are no shoots at the top of the tree, death has struck at its roots. You do not have to do anything to die. And a long time before you backslide, you die. A long time before you get mad and leave the church, you die. Folks don't know you're dead. You don't know you're dying. But the truth is, you're dying. A long time before you backslide, go back in the world, you die. Why? Because you quit growing. And it said you new Christians that were here. You keep on growing. For if you don't keep the minute, you quit growing, then you start dying. It's either growth or it is death. As I said, no one can tell it. You, like the church at Sardis, will have a name that you live, and yet you're dead. All over this room this morning, they're dying Christians. And I'm talking about leaders in the church. I'm talking about maybe deacons. I'm talking about maybe staff members. I'm talking about maybe choir members. I'm simply saying, all over this room today, there are people who are dying. Oh, nobody knows you're dying. Nobody knows that you're dead. Because you look okay, just like the body. My body is dying. It quit growing a long time ago, years ago. My body quit growing and maturing, and so it started dying. Now, you can't look at me and tell that I'm dying. I look alive, I jump up and down, I preach, I holler, I beat the pulpit, I stomp, but the truth is, I am dying. Ask a question, or make a statement. Bible study that is not growing is dying. I'm saying, if you don't study the Bible, somebody please take care of the situation back there. Have the folks leave or sit down, one or the other. Somebody help him there. Somebody help him. We have fellows there to take care of him. He's trying to cause a fight. Now then, okay, thank you very much. We don't need everybody to go back there. Either 10 of you men, or I'll go back by myself. Doesn't matter. I said Bible study that is not growing is a dying Bible study. Let's put it this way. If you don't study the Bible more now than you did, your Bible study is dying. It is growth or dying. A prayer life that is not growing is dying. If you don't pray more now than you prayed last year, then you have a dying prayer life. It's either growth or it is death. Relationships that are not growing and intensifying in love. Fellows, have a seat back there. Find a seat. That's enough. All right, now then, start again. I say relationships that are not growing are dying. Preaching that is not improving will soon become dead preaching. All across America today, you've got some men who are living on their past reputations, who grew and grew and grew. Now they're rehashing their old sermons and not studying like they used to study. And the honest truth is, this statement I think is worth hearing, the honest truth is, a lot of preachers that preach at big conventions are dying preachers preaching to living young preachers. You got death preaching to life, if you please. Service for God that is not growing will cease to exist. A church that is not growing will be dead, become dead. Character that stays the same will die. Churches die a long time before it shows. Marriages die a long time before the divorce court is brought into it. Christians die a long time before they leave the church. So look at yourself this morning. Look at yourself. I don't care what it is. If it's not growing, it's like people say to me, Reliance, you preach with more enthusiasm than you ever did. I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to get more excited than I did as a young man. I'm supposed to study harder and work harder. People say to the house, good night. You preach like a 25-year-old young man. Well, I don't know how well 25 young men can preach, but I'll tell you one thing. Any of them going to out-preach me, I'll guarantee you for sure. And they're not going to out-excite me, or not going to enjoy it any more than I do, or prepare any more than I do. Why? Because at the age of 73, if I don't become a better preacher, I become a dying preacher. I ask you this morning, is your prayer life better than it ever was? All over America, senior saints sit in our churches as leaders of the churches, and they're dying. Because they grew and grew and grew and got to a place of complacency and self-satisfaction. Brother, when you get to a place to where you don't want to grow, then you will die. I ask you a question. Is your Christian life better than it ever was today? If not, you're dying. Is your Sunday school teaching better than it ever was? Are you studying more? Are you praying more for your pupils? Do you love the pupils more than you ever did? If you're not growing as a Sunday school teacher, you are a dying Sunday school teacher. I ask you a question. Is your marriage better today than it ever was? Is it more loving? Is it more affectionate? Is it more tender? Is it deeper and sweeter than it ever was? Then your marriage is dying. For when you stop growing, you start dying. And every marriage in this room today is either growing or it is dying. That's the question. Are you a better husband than you were? Then you're dying. That's the question. Are you a better wife than you were? Then you're dying. That's the question. Are you a better child to your parents than you were? Then you're a dying child. That's the question. Are you a better school teacher than you were? Or do you get the same old outlines you taught last year and just warm them over in a spiritual oven and teach the same old stuff, nothing exciting, nothing new, nothing fresh? Then you're a dying teacher. Are you a better school administrator than you were? If not, then you're dying. When Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, he took with him Terah, Terah went with Abraham as far as Haran, and the Bible says he stopped and stayed in Haran, and he died in Haran. You die when you stop. Now listen to me, listen to me. If you're satisfied with your Christian life, then you are dying. If you're satisfied with your spiritual growth, then you are dying. And ladies and gentlemen, this church will die a long time before it looks dead, a long time before death is obvious. A person, okay, a person can go to the doctor and find out he's had cancer for a year. Nobody knows it. It's been in there. He's had that cancer, something that will soon maybe to take his life. It's been there. And churches all across America are dying. Why? Because they're not growing. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you, as a husband, as a wife, as a school teacher, a Christian school teacher, as a preacher, as an administrator, whatever you do for God, if it's not going up, it's going down. It never stays level. There are terrors all over this auditorium this morning. Some are leaders. I want to make a statement. I wouldn't be surprised with what most of the dying people here or the people most respected as great Christians. Let me illustrate. Brother Jack, stand up out there. Now, you just got saved a little while ago, let's say. And let's say that I'm over here and I've been saved for a half a century. I'm a preacher, been pastoring 52 years. Pastor the same church 40 years. I read my Bible every day, but no more than I ever did. And I study for my sermons, but no more than I ever did. And I pray, but no more than I ever did. But way back yonder, there's a baby Christian. Now, very slowly, walk forward. I'm dead. He's alive. And some of you older Christians today are dead, or some of the people that you think are just immature babes in Christ are alive. You're not alive because of where you are. You're alive because of how much you're progressing. Thank you. I won't stop before you get up with me. I said there are terrors all over this auditorium. Some are leaders. Some are far ahead of others who are alive and still going. Some of the most mature Christians are dead. Some dead Christians are heroes to some living Christians. See what I said? Don't leave me. Some dead Christians are heroes to some living Christians. I know preachers that have plateaued in their ministry, and yet they're famous. And young preachers look up to them. You got life looking up to death. I'm simply saying, I don't care how high you are, or you're getting higher. I don't care how far you've gone, or you're going farther. I don't care how much you've grown, or you're still growing. I want to reach out this morning and grab you and shake you and say, in God's dear name, don't stop where you are. I don't care how high you've gone. Keep on going. I don't care if how low you are. Keep on going. I mean, just keep on going up and don't stop until you awaken the likeness of Jesus Christ. Keep on going. And the moment, as a 73-year-old man, I quit growing in grace, growing in Bible study, growing in preaching, growing in Bible teaching, I'll die. Bless God. I don't want to die. I want to live. Many preachers say, I have retired. They ought to say, I have expired. They call it retirement, ought to be expirement. Sometimes living young preachers travel hundreds of miles to hear dead preachers preach. Now these dead preachers are ahead of these young preachers, but they're not going forward. I have never studied like I study today. You ask that woman right there, I keep with me a little black folder everywhere I go. I carry it everywhere I go. I take it home with me. I take it to church with me. I take it to the airport with me. I take it to my room. It's my study sermons on which I'm studying. And if Ms. Howell, for example, decides she wants to take something nap in the afternoon and I'm at home, I grab my study and go to the table and I start studying. I've never studied like I study now. Why? I don't want to be a dead preacher. I don't want you to have a dead preacher. So I want to study more than I've ever studied. I have never prepared like I do now. I've never prayed over my preaching like I do now. I must become a better preacher or I die. I must become a better Bible teacher or I die. I cannot give my people a dying preacher. I cannot pick up a little ditty here and a little ditty outline here and throw it at you on Sunday morning. I must pray and I must study and I must walk with God more than I ever have. Why? I want to live. I don't want to die. I must increase in my love for my people. I didn't say I must keep on loving them. I must increase that love. For if my love for you ever stops growing, it begins dying. I was talking to a famous preacher. If I called his name, you'd know it. You'd recognize it. He got involved in a lot of extracurricular stuff, organizations outside his church, and good things, by the way. And he got so involved outside his own church. I asked him one day, how do you get your sermons? Listen carefully. This man to whom everybody in this room would look up. This man whose name would be known by 75% of the people in this room. He said, I said, well, how do you study your sermons? He said, I'm so busy. I go down to church at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and I haven't got the foggiest idea of what I'm going to say at 11. And he said, between 8 o'clock and 9:30 on Sunday morning when Sunday school starts, I get me something to say at 11 o'clock. I wasn't surprised to find within a year he designed his church. I wasn't surprised to find within a year his church wasn't growing. Why? Because he was dead. Now here's the fella, if you advertise his speaking in America somewhere, folks would come to hear him, and young people would come, young preachers would come, and sit and look up and admire him, and even make him a hero, when the truth is the guy was dead. He was beyond the old young preacher, but he was not going any farther. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be satisfied with where you are. I cannot become complacent or I die. I cannot depend on the Bible I have learned or I die. I must not make the best of what can be bettered or I die. I must not be satisfied with what can be improved. Look at me. I must not be satisfied with what can be improved. I must be myself plus my possibilities. I must not be just what I am, but I must be what I can become. I must keep my church going. The greatest year must be this year. I must press on the upward way. I must gain new heights every day. I must be pressing on to higher ground or I die. I must not be death leading life. I must be a better friend than I have ever been or my friendship dies. I must be a better husband or I die. I must love her more than I've ever loved her or I die. I must be more attentive to her than I've ever been or I die. I'm talking about my marriage will be dying. I must give her more security than I've ever given her or my marriage dies. I must be more thoughtful than I've ever been or death steps in. I must be more courteous than I've ever been. I'm always looking for ways to do what I can to be better to that little gal. I started something recently. I've never done before. I started pulling the chair out for her when she sits down to eat. Way out. I'm talking to people all over this room. Your marriage is dead. Oh, you're not going to divorce. Oh, you don't ever fuss, maybe. You have no big serious problems. And folks think you're the model couple, but you're dead. Why? And you might have a better marriage than people still living. It's not how high you are. Are you still going higher? This house is on our 50th anniversary. We went to Hawaii. We got on the airplane to We flew to Atlanta, called a plane from there to Honolulu. were sitting on the front row. I got free first class tickets because the miles I've flown. They're sitting me on the front row in the first class section. The pilot came back, saw us sitting on the front row. Now, bear in mind, at that time, I was 69 years old. And the pilot came back and saw us before we walked in the washroom. And he came back a step or two and he said, "You folks are on a honeymoon, aren't you?" 69 years old. The guy said, "You folks are on a honeymoon." I said, "You're right." "Oh," he said, "congratulations. When did you marry?" I said, "50 years ago, October 24th. But we're on a honeymoon." Three different people on that trip to Hawaii thought we were on a honeymoon. You know why? Certain things we did. Now, listen to me. I don't care what I belong to. Bless God, I want it to live. I want it to be alive. And if it stays alive, it must be growing or it dies. That's why every week I come to this auditorium. I go to this door over here. And while this building is empty, I practice and I walk from right there to right there. Every week, practice it. That's why I sit right here every week in this empty building and practice my walk from here to this pulpit. Every week. That's why I pray every day across this auditorium for people as I think of you across this great building. I pray every day. That's why I study at least 20 hours a week. That's why I never walk on the platform for a funeral without spending 4 hours of preparation. And the wedding I had yesterday afternoon, I spent 4 hours preparing my heart and preparing the words I'd say for that wedding. I'm not going to walk up here. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you a dead preacher. And if I don't give you a dead preacher, I got to give you a growing preacher. That's why I study. All the time when I've got that spare moment, I study. So, House, what do you do at the airport waiting for a plane? Study for sermons. What do you do on the airplane while you're flying? I study for sermons. I rarely ever eat on the airplane because I'm studying. I'm preparing. I'm trying to find out your needs. I'm saying this morning, ladies and gentlemen, are you going to be content with dying? Are you going to be content with having a diet? Oh, you sit with the house. I pray 30 minutes every day. How much did you pray last year? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. I'm saying some of you people are such a high plateau, you may be the best Christian in this room and be dead. You may know more Bible than anybody in this room and be dead. You may pray more than anybody in this room and be dead. Life or death is not where you are. Are you still climbing? That's what life or death is. You grow or you die. Look at me and I'll be through. Is your prayer life better than it ever was? If this church ever dies, and she will someday, if this church ever dies, she'll die when we rest upon our laurels of the past. People all over the world traveled to London, England. This house and I were there years ago. We got in a taxi cab and I said, "Take me to the Spurgeon Tabernacle." Well, every cab driver in London knows where the Spurgeon Tabernacle is. That great place that used to seat 5,000 people been cut down now to seat 1,700. But 5,000 people, that famous Spurgeon Tabernacle. He drove us over. We tried to get in the front door. There's no way to get in the front door. We tried to get in the office building. It was locked. Went around the back of the building and tried to get in. Finally, we started knocking on the back door and a secretary came. And I said, "Ma'am, could we see the place where Spurgeon stood?" She took us in there. The auditorium seats 1,700 now. I said, "How many folks are you having attendance now?" She said, 300. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Spurgeon were back? She said, if you're back, he couldn't do any better than we're doing now. Now, wait a minute. Young preachers go all across the world to visit death. It ought to be that Spurgeon's people, and Spurgeon's tabernacle, ought to come all across the country and visit Bruce Goddard's church. Or Karen Inge's church. Or Bob Gray's church. Or others of our graduates. Why? It's time that death came to visit life instead of life visiting death. I'm talking this morning to those of you who have been saved for years. To those respected. We no doubt have teachers in our schools. Respected for the students. But death is teaching life. Don't misunderstand me, you're teaching. For you're teaching them things they do not know. But you're not learning things that you did not previously know either. Been saved 40 years? Are you alive? Are you dead? But you say, Brother Howes, I tell you what, you can memorize the Bible through the dead. It's all memorized. Start on the Mormon Bible. The Koran or something. Obliterated Malays, other inspired books. Now you listen to me carefully. This morning, every member of this church needs to sit up and take note and take inventory and ask yourself, are you alive or not? I'm not asking you, are you the best Christian here or the best Christian in your class or the best teacher in our schools? I'm asking you, are you alive? Well, how can I know if I'm alive or dead? Are you growing? It's either growth or death. You grow or you die. And that which is not growing is dying. The Bible study, the Christian life, the soul winning, your Sunday school teaching, your Christian school teaching, your marriage, as a husband, as a wife, as an administrator, whatever you are you growing? If not, you'll die. Nature says, grow or I'll kill you. Grow or I'll kill you. Now look, I just might could win an arm wrestling. I know I could. Come up here, son. You and I are going to have a, oh boy, pray for me, Carl, would you please? Put your arm right here like that, would you? All right, let's see now. You try to get me and I'll try to get you. Yeah, I got him. I did in a hurry. That dollar I slipped in his pocket helped some. Thank you. But what merit is that? But you just saw what's happening in our schools, in our Bible classes. You saw what's happening in our Sunday school classes. You saw what's happening in pulpits all across the country. I'm stronger than he is. But he's getting stronger. So what you do? Come back in 10 years. We'll do the same thing again. I started to use you, but I think he did a better job than you can. But come back in 10 years, and you and I will arm wrestle again and see how we do. You know why? For the next 10 years, that arm, if it hangs on there, that arm is dying, and that arm is living. I'm talking to many, many Christians here, seasoned, mature believers in Christ, who probably are in the 5% bracket of level of Christian attainment, but you're dying. You grow or you die. You grow or you die. Would you bow your heads, please?